Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You may be seated. Open my eyes to your wonders. The man after God's own heart, the man that sets so many spiritual precedents in the Word of God for us, makes one of the most noble requests. Open my eyes that I might see the wonders, things of God. It's a foregone conclusion that many, if not most people in this world, are spiritually blind and cannot see the wondrous things of God and His kingdom. On the internet, I saw two different things that were just amazing. And one was a little baby, and that little baby couldn't have been over just a few months old. And the doctors discerned that that baby had bad vision. And they fitted that little baby with glasses, and it looked up into its mother's face for the first time, and the entire countenance and expression of that baby's face changed. It just lit up because the first time in its life, it could see its mother's face. I saw another one. It was a middle-aged guy, probably 40-some years of age, and he had a job and worked outdoors. I think he was a game warden or some such trade, and he worked out, but he was colorblind. And I didn't know this, but they now have an apparatus that they can fix on, that they can put on you, and it will now, if you see all colors the same and you can't distinguish one color from another, it will bring all those colors very vividly in focus. And it showed this man, he's 40-some years of age, and he put this on, and this man started crying because he could see what he had never seen before and saw how beautiful it was. Well, friend, if you can see the things that are around you that are spiritual, it will change your life. People that are depressed are people that are spiritually blind. People that have no appetite for life are people that are spiritually blind. People that think life is boring are people that are spiritually blind. Because if you can see what's going on around you in God's kingdom, you will be excited, you'll be motivated, because every day you'll realize that God is doing wonderful and wondrous things in your midst. Jesus answered Nicodemus when he inquired about spiritual things. And he said, except you see a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God's mandate for spiritual sight is that you must be born again. Jesus was saying that a carnal-minded person cannot see the things of God. It's imperative that we be born from on high, as Billy Graham used to say. Be born again of God's Holy Spirit. Because the greatest things in life are the things that last long. Longevity has its place. Things that are eternal have the most value. But things that are eternal cannot be seen with the carnal mind and the carnal eye. You must be born from God. You must be born again. And if you are not spiritually attuned, if you don't have spiritual light, if your eyes are blinded, you will not see the things that I'm going to talk about in the next few moments. Number one, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in their case, the God of this world is blind to the minds of the unbelievers. Do you know that the devil, the adversary, wants you not to be able to see the things of God? Because if you see the things of God, it will draw you away from the adversary and draw you into God's kingdom. That's what it is. This world is all about appetites. What you eat, that depends on how you're going to be physically, but also spiritual appetite depends on who you're going to be. Esau sold his birthright because he had an immediate appetite for something right now. And he placed it over the spiritual appetite that he had. And so he said, the God of this world has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. The Bible said, the devil, the adversary of this world, wants to keep you blind. Because if he can keep you blind, you will not have a desire for spiritual things. If you have no desire for spiritual things, your life will be totally limited. There are people that have tremendous desire for physical things. They work all of their life to get them. And then when they acquire them, they're still not satisfied. Because humans are made in the image of God with a spark of deity inside of them. And there is an appetite that can only be satisfied with the things of God. And so he said, if this happens to you, he said, you will not be able to understand the things of God. He said, you will keep them from seeing the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So many people do not see the glory of Christ. They don't understand how great God is. When we sing these songs to people that are carnal, those songs are exaggerations. But to we that have been born from above, born again, that have spiritual sight, you cannot over-exaggerate the qualifications and the attributes of our God. Our Christ is an amazing Christ. He's a God that loved us when we were unlovable. He's a Christ that rescues from us from our own mistakes. He is a Christ that protects us. He is a Christ that gives us His glory, covers us with His glory. But Paul said, if the God of this world blinds your eyes, you will not see these things. And if you don't see these things, you won't have appetite for them. If you go to the mall, I saw a sign in the mall yesterday in the parking lot. It said, hide your valuables. Because if somebody sees your valuables, they're going to want to steal those things. They've got to see them first and know where they are. The greatest protection you have against theft is people not knowing you have it and not knowing where they can find it. And the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. If you don't know what God offers, you won't have an appetite for it. So the God of this world blinds your eyes so you cannot see the glory of God. People go by this church every day, and they see these cars in the parking lot, and they just marvel and say, I wonder what those people do in there. I wonder what motivates them to go, oh, I'm glad I'm not one of them, because they have never seen the treasures of God, because all they have is carnal eyesight. The second thing, he said, if you don't see Christ and you don't see His glory, he said, your eyes will be blinded and you will not understand that God wants to turn and He wants to heal your body. He wants to heal your spirit. So many people do not realize that God is a healer. You know, God wants to make you in His image, and He did. But God wants to keep you perfected in that image. And when you have any kind of a malfunction, it hurts the Lord, because the Lord wants to heal you. The Bible said He sent His word, and the purpose of that word was what? To heal you. The Bible said by His stripes we are healed. But so many people in this world do not understand that Christ is a healer. Even many churches do not believe that God is a healer. They don't teach that. They believe that somehow has been removed from this generation. But friend, I want to tell you from personal experience that God is a healer. God is a healer. I see all the attributes of God. I see what God can do. And not only can God save me in the world to come, but He is my protector and my healer every day of my life. Number three. The Bible tells us in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host can pass the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto Elisha, his master, how shall we? How can we? You know, in life, sometimes you just become overwhelmed by the multitude of circumstance, situation, and problems, and you just get that helpless feeling. That's exactly what this servant had. He had that helpless feeling. Do you ever just have that helpless feeling? I just can't make it. There's just too much going on in my life. There's too many negative things. There's too much lack in my life. That's exactly where he was. He said, we are totally outnumbered. But the prophet prayed to the Lord, and he said, Lord, open my servant's eyes. You know, that's the real difference between leaders and followers and leaders and failures, is a real leader can see what other people cannot see. I know when we built this building, I came over here and we were just got it closed in and it was still concrete and we brought a bunch of people over. And I wished I knew who this kid was, but he was just a little kid, just maybe 7 years old or so. And he was walking with me, holding my hand. And as we came through this, he said, "Oh, my God." He was 7 years old. He was comparing it to the building next door. And then he said, "It's just like my mama said. What was that preacher thinking to build that building?" That's the difference between a leader and a follower. It's not that they're bad people. It's just they can't see what the Lord has given you, hasn't given you. Their eyes are blinded. And so that's the reason why he was the servant and Elisha was the prophet. It depends on what you can see, what you're going to get. Those that don't see much don't get much. You've got to have great spiritual eyesight. You've got to have great expectation. And so he said, "Lord, just open his eyes that he may see what I see." And sure enough, God opened the servant's eyes, and the Bible said, "And the eyes of the young man were opened, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha." Ladies and gentlemen, if you get spiritual eyesight, it will save you from depression. It will save you from fear. It will save you from discouragement, because you will see that you're not alone. You know, that's one of the devil's greatest tricks, is to make you feel lonely and alone, like you're in this by yourself. But the Bible teaches us that the angels of the Lord encamp around about us. The Bible teaches us that we are not alone, that the Lord is with us. You remember when Paul was on the great ship during the storm, Euroclydon, and they were going to crash, and everybody was fearful. They thought there was going to be a great... But the Bible said an angel stood beside Paul. He could see that there was help that nobody else on that ship could see. Ladies and gentlemen, if your spiritual eyes were to be open, you would see, thank God, that God is with you, that he sent his angels that have charge over you. I remember preaching in Fort Worth, Texas, in a great church many years ago, and we were having a great revival. Oh, we had so many miracles happen in that revival. I remember one of the miracles that happened was a woman came down, and she told us on a Sunday night, we would go Thursday through Sunday, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. That was our revival. We went for weeks like that. But I remember this woman came, and she had this hair kind of pulled down over her forehead. And she pulled it back and she said to myself and the pastor, "Look at this." She said, "There is a cancer that's actually eating into my brain." And she showed that to us. And I remember that prophet, that man of God was had a real prophetic, miraculous ministry. And I don't know how many prophets you've ever been around. I've been around some prophets. They're not good company. They're not good company in the Bible. Remember Elisha called those bears out to eat those kids just because they made fun of him being bald-headed? Now, that's being overly sensitive. Somebody says, "Hey, Baldy," say, "Hey, the bears are going to eat your kids." That's overly sensitive. Prophets are not good. I used to say, you don't want a prophet for a pastor. And sure enough, you don't. And this guy was kind of a prophet. And I traveled with him and saw him on so many occasions. He was greatly anointed of the Lord. But it seemed like he would get angry when something would happen. I remember he got so angry when that woman showed him, and he cursed that cancer, and he didn't show any compassion at all. And that was on a Sunday evening. And Thursday she came back, and she came down and she pulled her hair back in, and that cancer was totally gone. Her head was just as slick. And she told us what was happening. She said, "I was driving around the loop around Fort Worth. I think that's 820. I was driving around 820 right there by Campus Drive. And she said, I was praising the Lord and singing to the Lord. And said, when I did, she said, I felt something in my lap. And I looked down and said, that cancer was actually laying in my lap. And she said, I looked back. And I pulled that mirror and looked at it. And she said, there wasn't any blood or anything. It was just totally healed over." We were having great miracles like that. And we had a man playing the piano, and he was a great musician, but he wasn't overly spiritual. No reflection on present musicians, I want to say, Tyler. But he wasn't over spiritual. He was just a great piano player, great keyboardist. And all of I was preaching about angels. And all of a sudden, I heard something go thump. And I looked over, and David had just fallen off the piano bench. And he was laying there like a dead man. It messed my sermon all up. And I got David, I went over there to David, and I got him back up. And I said, David, what happened? He said, I just sat in here listening to you preach about those angels. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, my eyes opened up. And he said, Pastor, there are thousands of angels in this big auditorium. It was a big auditorium. He said, they're everywhere. And he said, I began to watch them. And he said, they were going from saint to saint, and they were encouraging them. Have you ever been in a service, and all of a sudden you just feel like praising the Lord, and maybe nobody else is? You know why? Because there's angelic intervention there, helping you, inspiring you. And he said, it was like the angels were lifting people's hands, and they were beginning to praise the Lord. If your eyes were open today spiritually, you would see that this room is full of angels. It's full of the presence of Almighty God, that Jesus himself is in this room. But if we listen to the adversary, we'll be just like that servant. We'll say we're outnumbered. Things are too tough. There's too much against us. But praise God, if you can ask God to let the Holy Spirit open your eyes, you will see that there's help all around you, that your help is not from man. Lift up your eyes, because your help cometh from the Lord. If you can see what's going on right now, you've got angels with you in this building. You've got divine assistance. But people that are carnal don't know that. They think this is just a carnal world, but it's really not, folks. This is a spiritual world. The Lord is on my side. His angels are with me right now. No weapon formed against me can prosper. No enemy can overcome me. No circumstance can bring me under. Why? Because suddenly we realize we're not the minority. We're in the majority. Because God has got so many angels. You say, well, how many angels has God got? Well, we know that he had a great multitude of angels. A third of them fell. And so that means he's got at least two-thirds if he hadn't made any more. So that means that every time the adversary comes against you, it's at least two against one, just with angelic intervention. You need to open your eyes and see that the Lord is with you. He's working for you. He's helping you. He wants to bring you through every trial and every test, not just to get through it. God didn't just say, oh, thank God you existed. Every trial and every temptation is for a promotion. It's supposed to be greater victory. And so when we realize that there is a magnitude of God's help, when our spiritual eyes are open, it changes the way we face life. It changes the way we react with people. You know, we get mad at people because we're fear. I've said this many times. The reason why you get mad is because you're fearful. You say, well, not necessarily. Yes, you're afraid you're going to lose something. You get mad at somebody because you think they're going to take something that belongs to you. But when you realize and your eyes are open and you realize that you're not in fear of losing anything, God will protect everything you have. When the devil tries to steal it, the Lord will make him multiply it and give it back to you. It will help you control your feelings and your attitude and your temper. And instead of being upset and angry and fearful, praise God, you'll just say, it's all right. The Lord is with me. There is a magnitude of help around me. And we need to not only know that, but we need to be able to see that spiritually, that we have got the enemy outnumbered. The devil's not a superior enemy. He's an inferior enemy. He's already been beat up. He's already been stripped. He's already been defeated. And praise God, we are conquerors and more than conquerors. And so all of a sudden, that servant realizes we're not in trouble. We're in charge, praise God. And we're going to have this victory greatly. And the next thing is the abundance of God's provision. If your eyes are open, you will see the abundance of God's provision. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41, Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain. And so Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, he said, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and he looked, and he said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. You see, the servant couldn't see it, but Elijah knew it was there all the time. He just wanted the servant to see what he saw. Ladies and gentlemen, times come and go. There's an ebb and flow of life. There's an ebb and flow of church growth. But a real man or woman of God, a real person of God, is not moved by the things that are around them because they see another picture. They see something totally different. And so they saw a drought. But what Elijah saw was a cloud. And he knew out of that cloud was going to come a rain. That's my job as a pastor and a preacher, is to convince you to see what God is doing. And God is preparing an abundance in your life. But if you can't see that, you'll become fearful and doubtful, and you'll want to stop and you'll want to quit. And so he said, go back again. Sometimes you might not be able to see. You got to work on it a little while. The seventh time he went back, and he said, I see a cloud, a little cloud like a man's hand. But Elijah said, out of that is going to come a rain. I want to tell somebody right here in this building that you feel like there's been a drought in your life, that good things have been withheld from you, and you're just not living where God wants you to be, and you're not receiving what God wants you to receive. I want to tell you right now that if you could lift up your eyes and you could see what God is doing, you would know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God is preparing for you an abundance of His provision. There is going to be an avalanche of God's blessing. And so in this church, we thank God for what He's done. I put on Twitter the other day, if you're constantly talking about the past, if you're constantly talking about those things that used to be, more than what is happening now or what is going to happen, you're living in a melancholy state of mind, and you're just talking about you're already dying. Friend, if you want to live, talk about what God is doing now. Talk about what your life is now. Talk about what is about to happen, not what it used to be. I know when I was a younger man, I'd go around some people, and they were always talking about the way it was in the good old days. The good old days. Friend, I'm going to tell you, those good old days were not so good. Not so good at all. I'm old enough to tell you that I was raised my first several years in rural Illinois. They were not so good. Nothing compared like it is now. But we have a tendency to look back and say, it used to be better. No, it didn't. It's better now than it's ever been. And it's going to be better tomorrow than it is today, because that's the way God is. God is a God that always improves. God is a God that always multiplies. God is never anticlimactic. The best is not yesterday. The best is today and tomorrow. And if you would have your eyes open, you would see there's a cloud, and out of that cloud is going to come an abundance of rain, and rain symbolizes the blessing of God. But if you want to see, you say, well, that's great. I understand what you're saying, Pastor, that you got to have spiritual eyesight. You can't be blinded by this world. If you have spiritual eyesight, you'll see what God is doing. You'll be able to cooperate with that. I see what you're saying. But now the question is how. That's what I want to talk about in the closing moments of this message. If you want to see the kingdom of God, you have to be able to do something. Just sitting there, you're going to be like everybody else. I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to be where God's called me to be. And if you remember in the Bible, there's a story in Mark chapter number 10, and it's about a man named blind Bartimaeus. You know, you're in bad shape where you're named by your negative. Blind Bartimaeus. They didn't just call him Bartimaeus. They called him blind Bartimaeus, even in the Bible. But the Bible said when he heard Jesus was coming, friend, the first thing you've got to do is get sight. You've got to hear the gospel. Friend, the greatest story ever told is that Jesus Christ came from heaven, loved us so much that he died for us. that he rose again. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. And then he gave us all the spoil. He gave us all the rewards that he got from his death. And so you got to hear about Jesus. We don't know how Bartimaeus heard about it, but he heard about Jesus. You know, a friend of mine took his family to a Subway up in North Texas. And they were waiting in line to get their food, and there were Pentecostal people. I mean, the apostolic kind, the kind that wear their hair up real high and no makeup and no jewelry. And this little girl was, and he was the pastor of the church down the road, and said, this little girl, she said, y'all look like you're Pentecostal. He said, yes, we are. He was so proud. Yes, we are. She said, where do you go to church? He didn't tell her that he was the pastor. Said, we go to such and such church. She said, oh, I've heard about that church and that pastor. He's got his family all standing. He's so proud. He said, what did you hear? She said, it wasn't good. He didn't know what to say then. But whatever Bartimaeus had heard about Jesus was good. He was totally blind. But in his mind, he was seeing something that other people could not see. He had heard about Jesus. Friend, I'm going to tell you, don't limit Jesus. I don't know what you've heard about him. What I know about him is nothing but good. He's a Savior. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a friend. He is my God. He's my soon coming King. He loves me when I'm good and when I'm bad. He's better than Santa Claus. He's got a list, praise God. He's not checking me off his list. I'm on his list. Oh, Jesus loves me. And Bartimaeus had heard about Jesus. I don't know who the witness or the evangelist was that had told Bartimaeus about Jesus, but they had done a good job. When you share Jesus, are you doing a good job? Are you telling people what kind of a Jesus you serve? Are you moping around and complaining? Friend, that's part of your testimony, is to be able to share Jesus with people in such a way that they want him. Whoever told Bartimaeus about Jesus, he was convinced. The Bible said that he heard about Jesus and he began to cry out. Friend, those are the very first steps, is to hear the story about Jesus. And the Bible said, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the Old Testament, it says this, turn to God, taking words with you. Turn to God, taking words with you. The Bible said about the disciples that Jesus walked on the water and he would have passed them by if they had not cried out. Friend, it's your responsibility to call upon the Lord. I was in Austin the other day at a little conference. It was just a small little conference. Brother Johnson had invited me to come up there. And so it was just like 40 preachers, and I was in a hurry, and I really didn't want to be there. And so I just waiting to get out of there. And when that last amen said, I was gone. I just gone. And so there was a couple friends there I hadn't seen for a long time. One of them had preached here several times. And he went to Brother Johnson, and he said, what's wrong, offender? He said, what? He said, This guy just travels around preaching a little bit. He said he didn't come over and say hello to me. He said, Brother Fender is a very big man, a very busy man with a very big church. And he said, you got nothing to do. It was your responsibility to go talk to him. I said, did you tell him that, Rex? He said, I did. I said, how did he receive it? He said, not good. Let me tell you about it's your responsibility to call out to Jesus. You say, why is that my responsibility? Because he's done it all. He came to this earth. He died on the cross. He rose again. He's prepared everything. But sooner or later, you get to take just a little bit of responsibility yourself, and that is call out to Jesus. Just call out to Jesus. And here was blind Bartimaeus, and he had heard this story. But he didn't just wait for Jesus to come over and tap him on the shoulder. He began to cry out. The Bible said that he appealed to God's mercy. God's mercy. Friend, God is a merciful God. There's no need of you hiding from God, because God is a merciful God. God knows everything you've done, and guess what? He still loves you. He's still on your side. You need to call out. Oh, I want my eyes to be open. Well, these are the things you've got to do. You've got to hear that there's only one that's able to open them, and his name is Jesus. Number two, you have to call out. Number three, you have to appeal to God's mercy. Throw yourself on the mercy of God. Don't try to justify yourself. Well, God, you understand that my daddy left when I was a little boy. He knows all of that. You don't explain. You don't excuse. You throw yourself on the mercy of the living God. He is a merciful God. They sang it a while ago. His mercy is fresh every morning. Throw yourself on the mercy of God. And number four, cast away your beggarly garments. The Bible said he cast away. You see, in that day, they actually had lap robes that they carried and that they spread over them, which identified them as a beggar. So people would give to them. But this man realized his life was about to change. Friend, if you will truly come to Jesus, I know people come in and out of the church and they never change. But people that really give their life to Jesus Christ, they really do change. God changes their lives. I know people that are so different now than they were before they got saved. It's just an amazing transformation. Bartimaeus knew that he was getting ready to go through the change that would totally define his life. He would never be known as blind Bartimaeus again. He'd be known now as seeing Bartimaeus, the miraculous Bartimaeus. Something is about to happen. You've got to cast away your beggarly garments. You have to make some changes in your life. Friend, if you keep doing the very same thing you've been doing, you're going to get the same results. I know so many people that get saved, but they don't want to give up their old friends. And if they're not very careful, they're back to doing drugs again. They're back in that very same circumstance because they did not cast away the beggarly elements of their life. You've got to cast them away. We're no longer beggars. But the Bible said if you don't mature in Christ, you differ nothing from a beggar or a servant or a slave. You've got to realize who you are. And Bartimaeus began to realize something's going to happen in my life today that's going to change me forever. So he cast them away as beggarly garments. And he cried to Jesus. And the Bible teaches us that the people constrained him. They said, you're an embarrassment. You're an embarrassment. Don't do that. Shut up. Be quiet. That's where we are in the church today. You know, most churches are embarrassed when somebody gets emotional in church. They want the church to be real quiet. They want it to be totally, totally absent of emotion. It's the only place in the world where emotion is discounted. Everywhere else, price is right. Where do they get these people? Man, they go nuts over a washing machine. Next time I go down to Lowe's to buy me a washing machine, I want to act like that. Something. I saw somebody put on Facebook this week, said, now, here's the deal on this thing. Said, you got up at 2 o'clock in the morning for Black Friday, and it's 2 a.m., and you went down there shopping at 2 a.m., but you can't come to church at 10 o'clock. So what you're saying is you're more excited about a $20 crock pot than you are Jesus? Somebody, I wouldn't say anything that ugly. Did you put that on there? Oh, you didn't put it on. Somebody put that on there. And so they want church to be real quiet. They want church to be real dignified. They don't want any emotion. That's a trick of the devil. God loves emotion in people. The Bible said he bottles your tears. He's excited by your praise. And so they said to Bartimaeus, shut up! You're making a fool out of yourself. Don't say that anymore. He was saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. Why? Because he was desperate to see. Friend, to get what God's got, you got to get a little desperation in your life. You got to get a little intensity in your life. The Bible does say, since the day of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of God suffered violent. I know that we like to be reposed and we like to fold our hands, but that's not the way the things of God are gained. The Bible tells us we seek after the Lord. We knock at his door. We ask, we call on him, praise God. And they said, Bartimaeus, shut up! But you know what his response was? The Bible said he cried out even the more so. He turned up the volume just a little bit. Oh, he said, I'm going to call on the Lord because I know who Jesus is. I've heard the story that he can open the blind eye, and my eyes are blind, and I want to see. Praise God. Cast away your beggarly garments. Be very specific in what you need. And when somebody tries to constrain you, even the more so. Seek the Lord a little more, with a little more intensity. And then the Bible said that Jesus said unto him, your faith has made you whole. His eyes were opened, and he could see what he had never seen before. And Jesus attributed it to his faith. Ladies and gentlemen, do you really believe that God is able? Do you believe that God is willing? Do you believe that God will? So many people say, I know he can, but that's not the same as saying, I know he will. God's in this building right now, and your life might seem like it's in the pits, but I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll allow God to open your spiritual eyes, if you let Lord open your spiritual eyes, your life will change, and your life will change dramatically. The devil tries to get me to look down. The devil tries to get me to always look away from the things of God. But I insist on looking up and saying, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. You know, the devil always wants to you to compare yourself with somebody else. You don't know their story at all, but you sit and watch television, and there's somebody that's just got so much money and so much fame, and you say, oh, their life is so good, but it's probably not as good as your life is. But the devil wants you to look at that instead of you looking and saying, look how far the Lord has brought me. Look what God has done in my life. Look how the Lord has provided for me. And there's one last thing I want to share with you on how you have your spiritual eyes open. It's a unique story. It's a story of another blind man in Mark chapter 8 in the Bible. And the Bible said that this man was blind, and Jesus took him by the hand and led him out of town. I remember preaching to Lake Charles on just that part of the story, how we have to be led away from things that are familiar with us. This blind man, he knew the city so well that he could perform at a lower level. He knew how many steps it was to the post office, how many steps it was to the diner. He could function blind. If you're satisfied to function at the level you are right now, you'll never go to the next level. You've got to be dissatisfied with being blind. You've got to be dissatisfied with being poor. You've got to be dissatisfied with always being the odd man out. You've got to be dissatisfied with the way life is going and saying, this is not the God that I serve. The God I serve is a God that is able. So the Bible said he led him out of town. He got him in an unfamiliar territory. If Jesus had not healed this man, then the Bible teaches us that he would not have been even able to get back to town, because he had to see to get back home. He had to have a miracle. Miracles very seldom happen as just a trivial thing. There's something that you have to have. They are a necessity. I can't live without it. I can't go on anymore. And then the Bible tells us that Jesus put his hands on this man, and he said, how is it now, sir? And he said, I see men as trees walking. The moral of this story is, it's all right to ask Jesus more than once. He said, I see men as trees walking. That's a slight improvement, but I want to see men as men walking. Ladies and gentlemen, you might have had a touch of God in your life. You know, that's what's wrong with so many Christian people. Their life is slightly improved, and so they think that's all God's got. But ladies and gentlemen, you cannot exhaust the abundance of Almighty God. God has more than you can think, more than you can ask. He is an abundant God. And you say, well, I'm doing so much better than my sister's doing or my cousin's doing. That has nothing to do with you. You need to get the abundance of God in your life. He said, I'm better than I was. I can see light. I wouldn't want to be totally blind. I'd rather be able to see light and shadows and figures and movement. He said, that's not good enough. I want to see men as men. I want to see trees as trees. I want to be able to distinguish what's going on in my life. And God wants you to be able to distinguish what's going on in life that you might have the best. So would you touch me again, Jesus? Just touch me again. You said, I've already been to the altar. Well, come again. You said, I've already been touched of the Lord. Get touched again. I've already been filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible said in the book of Acts, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The only problem with that statement is many times it was talking about people that had already been filled with the Holy Ghost. So what they were saying is they were refilled with the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I was 13 years of age, but I don't know how many times I've lost track of how many times that I have been refilled over and over and over and over again. Because sometimes in my life, I begin to realize that I cannot see things clearly. Some time ago, I got to where I'd be out on my ranch, and I could see an animal out there. And I'd say, is that a cow or is that a horse? I couldn't tell the difference. I went to the doctor, my eye doctor. He said, I can fix that. I said, you can? Yeah. He said, I can put a new lens in your eye. I said, can you really? How good will it be? He said, it'll be better. So they put a new lens in my eye. That surgery took, Brother Leslie, maybe 10 or 15 minutes. Man, that guy's good. He's the Spurs doctor, the same one that works on the Spurs eyes, worked on mine. And so he put that patch on my eye and sent me home same day. He said, don't take his patch off till about 8 o'clock tonight. I took that patch off. I used to watch football games, and if I was sitting in a chair and I wasn't listening, I got distracted, they put the score up on there. I could see the players, but I couldn't. I had to get up and go look. Oh, that's the score. That's really a tribulation right there, folks. That's a major tribulation. You got to get it. I took that patch off, and wow, it was like a new world. You don't know how much safer you are on the highways now that I can actually see. Becky kept trying to get me, said, don't drive, you can't see. I said, oh, I'm more careful because I can't see well. When I took that patch off, I could see the scores on there. They had a new lens in my eye. I went back for my follow-up in a few days. He started laughing. He said, preacher, you're what I shoot for every time. You're a miracle. He said, you know what your vision is? I said, what? Not 2020. He said, it's 2015. You got supervision. Like right now, I can see El Paso. It's just amazing. It changed my life. What that man did in 15 minutes. Oh, I thank God for medical science. I thank God for what they can do. You can do what you want to do, but you know, I'm 105 years old. A lot of people don't know that, but look how good I look for 105. I'm going to tell you how to stay healthy. Pray every day. Pray for yourself. Take care. My back got hurt, and I said, I think that's my kidneys. I didn't have to go to the doctor. And the reason why I thought it might be my kidneys is because I was drinking about 10 to 15 sodas a day. And if you're drinking 10 or 15 sodas a day, you're going to have some problems. And so one day I just said, I quit. And I mean, the next day my back quit hurting. I hadn't had a pain since. I'm talking about being healthy. Use some common sense. Don't, if you're going to drink sodas, drink one or maybe two at the most. Don't drink. I got a little thermos, and it'll hold about four of them. I'd fill that thing up when I was working the ranch three times a day. Friend, you're not using your brain. But they taste so good. Sometimes you got to quell that appetite and say, this ain't working for me. And so I'm talking about keeping yourself healthy. Use common sense. Pray every day. Thank God that He's got a hedge around you. Thank God that He's keeping you in divine health. My goal now is to be a marvel when I'm 100. I want doctors to come around and examine me and say, why are you so healthy at 100? And I can testify about the goodness of Jesus. So do that. Use common sense. Pray. Confess over your body the blood of Jesus and the stripes of Christ's back. And believe that He sent His word to heal you. Go to your doctor. Get checkups. If they find it early enough, they can fix it. Go often to your doctor. Don't say, oh, I'm strong. Everybody thinks they're strong. Get your checkups. Do what the doctor says. But then we've got another dimension that most people don't have. We've got divine healing. We've got supernatural intervention. I see all this in the kingdom of God. But oh, praise God, I can see some of you. I just had this done a few weeks ago. This eye fixed a few weeks ago, and some of you, you're so pretty. I had no idea you were that pretty. Oh, sir, you're so handsome. Man, you're ma'am, you're so beautiful. I couldn't see you. I just had to take it for granted that you were that pretty. But I can see you clearly now. I can see the people on the back row. Yeah, I can see you when you leave early back there now. Oh, I'm seeing all kinds of things here. Praise God. The Lord's opened my eyes both spiritually and physically. But the Lord wants to open your eyes and realize that there are things all around you. If you can't see them, you can't have them. If you can't see them, you won't reach out and grasp them. God's got miracles in store for you. But you need to quit listening to the devil. You need to make sure the devil's not blinding your eyes. But you're looking and saying, God, I know your help is all around me. There's angels around me. Your strength is around me. Stand on your feet right now. There's somebody in this building that you are so close to a miracle, but you can't see that miracle because the devil's got you focused on things that are negative. The devil's got you focused on negative people. He sends people to talk to you and tell you things that will dissuade you and discourage you. But you need to look up and say, Lord, I want to see like Bartimaeus. I want my eyes to be opened. I want to see you in all your glory. I want to see the gospel for what it is. If you're in this building right now and you realize that things are just not working out the way they should, you need to rebuke that and realize that we serve a good God. You know, I was raised in the church, and I thank God for all the good things that happened in the church, but there were some negative things. And one of the negative things was we was always being threatened by God. I don't like to be threatened. We're always being threatened. If you do so-and-so, this is going to happen to you. And I got to where I feared the Lord. I didn't inquire of the Lord. I just wanted to stay away from the Lord. And when I got a revelation of Jesus Christ and how much he loved me, it changed everything. I want to get close to the Lord. I see him as he is. I see the Lord high and lifted up. And I see that the Lord wants to bless me. The Lord is not listing my failures and my mistakes and trying to get even with me. Remember this about God. God doesn't try to do anything. He just does things. He said, well, I feel like the Lord's trying to get even with me for all my sin. If the Lord wanted to get even with you, you would have already been dead. You've been smashed like a bug. God is wanting to do for you what he died on the cross to do. And you need to see Jesus in all of his glory. When I saw the Lord high and lifted up, my life changed. My life changed. My God is eager to forgive. You know, that's one of the real problems we have is we feel like, well, I failed the Lord, and so my failure is going to prevent God from blessing me. Jesus Christ came and died for people that failed. Your failures will not prevent God from doing what he wants to do. It's simply a matter of faith in your life. Cry out louder. Come back the second time. You see ministries, well, let the Lord touch you again. Cry out even more so and say, Lord, I want to see what you have planned for me. If you could see God's perfect plan for your life, you'd jump up and click your heels right now because God's got a plan for you that totally exceeds your imagination, the things he wants to do in your life. If you're in this building right now and you've got a need in your life, if your life's not a good life, it's not a productive, abundant, overflowing life, you need to come to this altar and start it.